have your scriptures or you find on your device, John 6:63. And while you're turning there, you understand your praise is a sweet fragrance to the Lord. You know that, don't you? It's incredible to him what you're doing. I want to look at this verse. Let me reread it to you. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. In fact, it says the flesh counts for nothing. We're going to talk about that today. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, Lord. Any word of knowledge directed to me to give to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Remind me, Lord, that I'm under a great judgment, a more strict judgment of anybody in this place on this campus today. You look at me a little tougher today than you do anybody else because I'm a teacher of your word. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. Today we're going to be handling how Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to carry out what he needed to carry out in his life. And we'll go ahead and get to the point. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, guess what that says about you? You've got to have the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. And I want to look at this verse, if you'll bring up verse 63 back up. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. I want you to look at that. I want you to let that pour over you for a moment. Scripture goes on to say in the New Testament that being spiritually fit is more important than being physically fit. It doesn't say that physically fit is not important. It just says being spiritually fit is more important. Now, which one do you spend the most time on? Go on and tell me. The flesh. You and I will quickly think, we handled a verse a few Sundays ago. The old man on the outside. I need a paint job, you know? The old barn is dilapidating, but on the inside, I'm being renewed every day. The inner me is being renewed every day. So here's what I want to tell you on this verse for just a moment before we really get into the meat of the sermon. And it says, the flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to your spirit, and they are life. Many of you all want to will it. In other words, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better husband. I'd rather you say I'm going to be a transformed dad and a transformed husband, and I'm picking on the men right here. We want to do things to be better. I want to do things that not just make me better. I want to do things that transform my life. I don't want a better version of me. I want a new me. You hear me? I don't want a better version of me. I want a new me. And the only way that can happen is through the Spirit. All of that's combined in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is the one who's directing it. Remember, he's ascended. He's the king on the throne. He's not going to be king. He already is king. And what is he doing? How does all that work? Well, he's directing the Holy Spirit toward us. He's up there just putting it all together. He's telling the Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Spirit, doing what he does to me and to you, to the church, universal throughout the world. He's directing his mission and the mission of the church. So here's the deal. It not only says my flesh really counts for nothing. My point that I really want us to understand is that it's not that my flesh can't do it. It's also my flesh doesn't want to do it. Right? Let me pick on you a moment. Can I pick on you a moment? Your Sunday morning is determined by about Friday. Yes? And then I can venture into Saturday and Sunday. And if you get a better offer sometimes between Friday and Sunday that you think will benefit your flesh, guess what you do? Who does the leading there? The flesh does the leading there. It's not only scripture my flesh can't do it. My flesh doesn't want to do it. I didn't want to get out of bed this morning. And then the Holy Spirit is like, you're the preacher. I did. I hit my snooze button. I just kept hitting it on my phone. Then I threw my phone. I didn't throw my phone. But you understand, it's not, I understand the scripture, the flesh can't do it. But I also know my flesh doesn't want to do it. Can I just be real simple? I am a simple guy. I'm a simple man. I'm a simple preacher. And there are times you all could say, well, Pastor Jeff, I wish you'd go deeper. I just wish you'd get it shallower. You want me to go deeper? I just want you to get the simple version, right? And my point in that is my flesh doesn't really want to do it. And if you're going to follow Jesus, your flesh has got to come under surrender to Christ. And there's times that the Spirit makes my flesh go when my flesh doesn't want to go. It's not that my flesh can't do it. It's my flesh doesn't want to do it. I mean, really, if you're going to get yourself active into the ministry of Jesus in the church, your flesh has got to leave the living room. Y'all hearing me? That's about as simple as I can tell you. You have to get up. Get at it. Your body's got to be there. It can't just be, well, I'm just following the Lord in the Spirit. The Spirit's going to make your flesh go where it doesn't really want to go. Right? Y'all getting this? This is as simple. I mean, this is 101. It may even be minus 100. I don't know. But it's not only that my flesh can't do it, my flesh also doesn't want to do it. That's what you battle. You and I battle scripture over and over. Paul is big on those writings that we battle the old man. We battle the flesh. If I just don't feel like it. Well, I understand that you don't feel like it. Your body doesn't want to. And in fact, the passage here in John, and John's writing, is the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh really doesn't help you at all. That's what we battle. Back and forth. We battle with the flesh, the desires of the flesh. What our flesh asks me to do, to be a part of, and to travel and go. It says it doesn't help at all, but we're going to handle the Spirit. So do we work in the effort of the flesh, or do we work in the effort of the Spirit? And a lot of you have great intentions. And I know that. I hear that. I feel that. I've been there. And I'm going, Lord, I'm just going to will it. This is what I really want to do for you and how I want to follow you, and you make it happen instead of the Spirit of God working in and through you for it to happen. And today, my challenge to you is rely on the Holy Spirit to live this Christian life, because you can't live it under the power of the flesh. You can't do it. I can't will it. I can't have a strong psychological effect on Christianity. I've got to let the Spirit of God empower me. Let me help you out here. My life is very transparent. Always has been. If you've known me these 25 years, there's not much you don't know about me. We're selling Tom and Laura's house, and I know I talk about Tom and his death a lot because it's still fresh. Not only is it still fresh, I just want you to know that I go through what you go through too. And I mow her yard. Laura's in Denver, and we're getting the house ready to sell. And I stood in their garage the other day and just by myself and just cried like a baby. I saw his golf stuff, his ball stuff, their camping stuff, and I just missed him dearly. And I sat there and cried. And I want you to know, I didn't cry. I didn't call on my flesh to help me out of that scenario. Because my flesh in every part of me would say, just run, just get out of there. But I had to call on the Spirit of God to embrace me in that garage. And part of our problem is we want to show ourselves strong by working in the flesh. And what you do is you're being led by the Spirit. You show God being strong. You're going, the scripture says, when I am weak, he becomes strong. How does that happen? Because your spirit wills it? No. It's because the Spirit of God overcomes all of that. It gives you a power to go through that your flesh can never give you. So the flesh doesn't help at all. And me and you adorn it. We shape it. I think you need to take care of the temple. I've confessed that to you all and to him. That needs to happen. But being spiritually fit is more important than being physically fit. Because this old flesh has got a timeline to it. But the soul within me does not. It's going to live on forever. So I'm going to challenge you today on how Jesus lived by the Spirit. And how he lived by the Spirit is a challenge for me and you to do exactly the very same thing. Look at Luke 1:35, if you will, and we're going to begin at the beginning. How was Jesus conceived? The Holy Spirit. Luke says, the angel replied to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. How did this miraculous conception occur? Through the Holy Spirit. I know you know that, but maybe you haven't connected the dots all in his life about how he lived being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The Trinity has always been present, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, always. And they're always at work. There's something I want to show you that Robert Coleman wrote. We'll throw it on the screen. It says, Robert Coleman expresses what God plans as the Father and reveals as the Son, he affects through the Spirit. How is all this carried out? Jesus is on the throne. He's king, not going to be king. He already is king. And he's directing the Holy Spirit for the mission of the church and his mission in and through us. He carries it out that way. All of it is going to be done through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has creative power. He has creative power. He said that at the very beginning when our world was made. It says the Spirit of God was moving. He has redemptive power. He convicts you of where you are and where you need to be. He convicts you of your sin. And that conviction is to lead to salvation. He does that. Remember last Sunday, he reminds us. The Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us. Not only that, he is enabling power. He gives you the power to live the Christian life. Remember again, you can't will it. It cannot be flesh empowered. Not only can my flesh not do it, my flesh doesn't want to do it. It doesn't want to do it. So the Holy Spirit enables you to be able to live the Christian life. Look at John 3:34. Marvelous verse. Many of us just fly through this. It said, for God sent him, and he speaks God's word, since he gives the Spirit without measure. Now, your version may say he gives the Spirit unlimited, without limit. He gives the Spirit without limit. He doesn't just say, since we are trying to diet our house, everything's a half a cup, a teaspoon, a tablespoon. We just got spoons and cups and stuff everywhere. Right? So he's not a half a cup, or I'm just going to give you a little bit. He gives it without measure. Back in 2011, many of you all saw this movie called Limitless. Did you see the movie Limitless? I guess after today, you're going to see the movie Limitless. Limitless was a story about the main character named, a movie about Eddie. Eddie lost his job. Eddie lost his girlfriend. Down in the dumps, a guy comes along with an untested chemical, a pill, and he becomes the guinea pig. And taking the pill means that your brain operates on 100% capacity. And what do they say that our brain operates on? You know, just a less percentage, less than half. So here he is operating. He becomes a financial wizard. Everybody wants to be connected to him. He's able to compute things. His intuition is through the roof. He's able to figure it out. All those things happen as long as he keeps taking the pill. We may look at that and say, hey, man, this is incredible. Man, I wish life was like that. I wish I could just operate on all cylinders. Well, is the movie Limitless that far-fetched? Probably not in our minds. I don't know that it is in reality, but some of you all are looking for the magic pill. Y'all are looking for some kind of something that's going to help you to operate on a higher level of capacity than you're operating right now. Let me go back to our original verse. It's not only that your spirit can't, your flesh can't, your flesh doesn't want to. It doesn't want to. So how, I can't just will it and make my flesh happen. There has to be a transformation. That's why it's not being a better version of me. It's I want a new me. And the only one who can make you a new you is the Spirit of God. He gives life. Not a better form, a transformed you. So is it that far-fetched? I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think it's right here. I think it's back in verse 34, if you'll go back to verse 34. I think it's right there. For God sent him, and he speaks God's word, since he gives the Spirit without limit. What you're looking for is right there in that verse. He gives you the Spirit without limit. My brother is retired from law enforcement. Actually, he's retired state police, and as many in here are in our church. And I say this to law enforcement all the time because I'm around law enforcement a lot. And I tell them when they start their shift, I said, I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you an extra sense of danger. Because I don't think your flesh can do that. I ask the Holy Spirit to give you an extra sense of danger. Of danger. Because he can. You're looking for something to get you beyond where you are. I'm telling you, it's right here. He's already given it. He says he gives the Spirit without limit, without measure. And there it is. Learn to live, work, play, exist with the Spirit involved in that. Work with that. Ask him to empower you and to be able to enable you. We move from here, from the Lord giving us the Holy Spirit without measure. The Holy Spirit is at the baptism of Jesus. I'm just taking some points out of Jesus' life to let you know his whole life. He lived being empowered by the Spirit of God. Look at John 1, 32 and 34. We're at the baptism of Jesus. This is why we baptize in the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because all three were present at the baptism of Jesus. It's not just some church rule. It has a biblical scriptural tradition to it. And that is that there's the Son being baptized, the Father speaks, and the Spirit comes in flying like a bird. And John testified, I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. John said he saw it. John said he saw a transformation be able to occur. I didn't know him, but he sent me to baptize with water. He told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. So John, with his eyes, saw a form of the Holy Spirit come down on Christ. Saw it happen. Not only is he at the birth, we know that he is at the baptism. After this baptism, then is the temptation of Jesus. Look at Luke 4:1. Then Jesus returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. How many of you all, am I just reminding now, or have you always known that Satan did not lead Jesus to the wilderness, that the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness? And I believe it happened because the Holy Spirit needed to let Satan know, you still don't have a chance. But it wasn't Jesus who just meandered in the flesh to the Spirit. It wasn't Satan who lured him into the desert. It says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for that 40 days of fasting, and then later on we know as the great temptation. Look at Luke 4:14. Jesus goes back into his ministry and the power that he has in his ministry. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. How did he go back into Galilee? In the power of his flesh? No, he went there in the power of the Spirit. So his ministry is empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going back to our mission statement, and you're going, oh no, not that mission statement again. Yes, oh no, the mission statement again. Isaiah 61:1. Will you please look at the beginning? See the first line on that. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me, he says. I'm just picking points out of Jesus' life to show you he relied, and you're going, no. He's Jesus. He's Jesus who relied on the other part of the Trinity to lead him and enable him throughout his entire ministry. It says, the Spirit is upon me. And then look at John 14:15-21. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Remember, Jesus is on the throne. Not going to be king, he's already king. How's all that worked? He's directing the Holy Spirit for the mission of the church, for Jesus' mission, for you and me. He's putting that and sending the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him. Remember I told you, see if the world and Jesus ever agree? Look what it says. It says the world is the world and all of its context is all on its own. It doesn't see the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you, he says. In a little while, the world will see me no longer. But you will see me because I live. You will live too. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, you're in me, and then I am in you. The Holy Spirit, he sends to us. Now, this is what he told his disciples, but he tells me and you, I am sending the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to fulfill his mission, guess what? What? You and I are in the same situation. And let me tell you today in your private time, I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I know what he can do with me. I know that I have to confess when I try to follow Jesus in my flesh. And I try to do things ahead of him. And I try to do things in spite of him because I want a better version of me. And I'm not looking for a better version of me. I'm looking for a new me. And the only person who can make a new me in you is the Spirit of God. It's not a new haircut. It's not a new car. It's not a new wardrobe. Drew called me from Ohio. He said, I got to tell you something, Jeffro. He said, it's funny. I said, what? He said, I was in a church planning conference the other day. And he said, I met the Jeff Eaton of Kansas. I said, really? That's neat. He said, he walked in looking like a cowboy. And he said, I liked his cowboy shirt. And he said, I went up to him. I go, I like your shirt. And the guy said, thanks. And then Drew, because if I find something I like, I buy every color in it, right? It's just a smart way to guy shop. You know what I'm saying? It fits, get every color, I'm done, right? That's the guy way. He goes, do you have every color in that shirt? He goes, yeah. And he goes, he says, you need to meet my former pastor. He said, so, you know, it's not a better version of me. Is that resting with you all this morning? We try to get a better version of me. I don't want a better. You don't need a better version of me. You need a new me. And it's changing styles and all that. We're trying to change the flesh. And Scripture has already said the flesh mounts to nothing. Not only can it not do nothing, it doesn't want to do anything. Right? It doesn't want to do anything. So how does that happen? I mean, let's put boots on the ground. How does that happen? It happens because the Holy Spirit helps create a new you. Old things are passed away. Corinthians says, but all things, finish it, have become new. And he's constantly transforming you into a brand new you. The mercies of God, they are new every single day. Look at Acts 1:8. We talk about discipleship. And I'm not going to go through the whole verse. You've seen it a million times. But it said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's how you're going, well, Pastor, I'm just going to will it and be a better witness. That's not how you be a better witness. You have to let the Holy Spirit empower you. This is in our closing. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. It says, in the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus stood among them. He walked right through that locked door. That's my Jesus. Is that your Jesus? Huh? You could, I don't care how big your wall is or how thick it is. He'll walk right through it. You understand? Go hide in your fort. He'll walk right through your fort walls. Go hide wherever you want to. He'll be there. Elijah got a note from Jezebel. Jezebel's going to kill him. Elijah had just seen the power of God where he ran, hid in the cave, and the Lord spoke to Elijah, what are you doing in the cave? He knows exactly where you are. There's nothing he can't walk through. You all look for great theology in that verse. I'm amazed my Jesus walked through a locked door. How can you shut him out? Is there nothing he can't walk through and do? No. Go hide from him. Good luck. Good luck. He even knows where Bigfoot is. Well, most of us don't, but he does, you know? I just had to throw that out. That ran across my mind. I just thought I'd share it with you. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, peace to you. Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, still fresh from the wounds. This is post-resurrection. Okay? So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me. This is our hope arrow. I send you. As he sent it. Is he going to send us in the power of our flesh? He's going to send us in the power of the Holy Spirit that he himself relied on. That's right. That's right. If he needs him, we need him. After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Will you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? You quit willing it with the flesh. Have you ever just prayed to the Holy Spirit? It's okay. The Holy Spirit's a person. It's not a concept, not a thing, not an it. He's not this mysterious fog just floating around all over the world. He's a person. In the garage the other day, I just said, my flesh can't take it. I needed the embrace of the Holy Spirit. And I believe he gives hugs. I don't care if you don't believe it. I do believe it. Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to fill you, to empower you? He is the comforter to comfort you. Are you willing to ask him? And we handled that verse several Sundays ago, a few months ago. He breathed on them. This is where that song, that old hymn that a lot of us grew up with, was called "Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me." This is where that song originates. I think it was B.B. McKinney who wrote the hymn, if I'm not mistaken. And this, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me." Would you just ask him to breathe on you? Will you confess that I've tried to make a better version of me, and after today I'm no longer going to do that? He's not into you being a better version of you. He's into you being a new you, transformed by him. To the point, and y'all have said this to me since Tom died, "You're a different preacher." And I am. And I know I am. I know I am. But you know what my flesh wanted to do after Tom died? Quit. Fight or flight. I was tired of fighting. I wanted to run. I wanted to quit. You go, "Preacher, you can't quit." Yes, I can quit. My flesh doesn't want to do this. Ask Ken Underwood, who's in glory. "Karen, your daddy's a preacher. There's times we just wanted to throw it up. We said, every good preacher after Sunday on Monday wanted to be an evangelist." You know what I'm saying? So you just go and preach, not have to handle people. And you put out fires. But you know what I boiled down to? Some of y'all come to me because you're trying to fight the world in your flesh, and you can't fight Satan in the world with your flesh. You've got to come back at it in the Spirit. How are you going to survive this Christian life without the Spirit? So you may want to, I'm challenging you in the altar or where you sit or stand today. Would you say, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me. I need you. I don't need a better version of me. I need you to make a new me." Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. I know there are great intentions sitting in these chairs, Lord. I know your Spirit is stirring with all of us and each of us. Lord, we learned from your word today that our flesh, it not only can't, it really doesn't even want to. And we rely on it way too much. And Lord, forgive us. I'm praying a confessional prayer of all of us. Forgive us, Lord, of trying to live this kingdom life with my flesh. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. The breath of life. Because your Spirit is life-giving. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you did. Who you are, there's no one like you. And we thank you for not only being the example of living with the Holy Spirit, but sending the Holy Spirit to us. So breathe. Breathe your Holy Spirit upon us. It's in your precious name, Lord, that I pray. Amen. If you're here, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, let today be that day. There'll be people in the altar who will be ministering to you and with you and for you. You come and chat with them. If you're here and you're a believer, you don't have to see the altar counselor unless you just want to. Let them minister to you in some way. You can bypass them, kneel on the altar, do whatever you want to do. We offer communion. Communion, the bread represents the body of Christ given. The drink represents his blood shed. Know that it took the Holy Spirit to even lead him to that time on the cross for us. He empowered him. Thank him for his sacrifice. If you'll remember his prayer, his body really didn't want to do that. But the Spirit of God came into him and led him to his mission for all of us. Before you consume the bread, remember his sacrifice and give thanks. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Logan's going to lead us. You respond.